Hey everyone, we're back. In Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, we are reciting the movie from memory, which has been going, I think, pretty good. I feel good about what we've done so far. I just had to listen to the last episode to know where we left off, so I'm literally just going to pick it up without much further ado. If this is your first time tuning into an episode, I highly recommend going to the first episode in the series, because it will make way more sense. But for those of you who are caught up, here we go. So, last time, I believe Miss Norris has been petrified. So, Dumbledore, the teachers, all the kids were, huddled around the message on the wall. You know, enemies of the air, beware. The Chamber of Secrets finally open. Miss Norris has been petrified. Filch has threatened Harry with homicide. Very blatantly. I think Dumbledore has reassured everyone that, Professor Sprout's mandrakes will be ready soon. When they become mature, then they can be harvested and turned into stuff to unpetrify people. So everything's gonna be fine, allegedly. So our trio depart from that scene into the spooky staircase room, which you really don't get to see a lot of in later movies, but that's fine. And in this sequence, Harry turns to Hermione and tells her, he's like, shouldn't I have told everyone that I was hearing voices? And then Hermione tells Harry, even in the wizarding world, Harry, hearing voices isn't a good sign. So, like, he keeps that shit to himself, which, I mean, probably it's, I mean, I don't know, maybe he should have told someone. I don't know. This was bad advice from Hermione. It's very out of character, but yeah. So he doesn't tell anyone anything, which, we'll see how that goes. The next day, they are in McGonagall's class, where she's doing transfiguration, I believe. She's turning animals into water goblets. I think the spell is Ververto. I could be wrong, but I think that's what it is. I think it's Ververto. So she's turning, I think she turns like a, I don't know, some kind, I think it's, oh my god. I used to know what kind of bird that was. I don't remember what kind of bird it is now. But she turns it into a water goblet. I think it's like transparent. And then she asks someone in the class, can you do the same? And then she picked Ron, the person who has a broken wand and just not a knack for spells, but it's fine. So Ron does it to Scabbers and he goes, Ververto. But Scabbers becomes a very hairy glass with a tail, which I would not want to drink out of. One, because it's a hairy glass. And two, because it's Peter Pettigrew. Like, you know, it's a person. He transfigured a person who was a rat into, we don't know this yet, but a person who is a rat into a cup. There's a lot of layers there. So she ridicules Ron for having a broken wand and tells him, you gotta get that wand fixed, Ron. It's broken. But as we know about the Weasley's financial situation, it's probably not likely that he will be able to get a replacement very soon. Meanwhile, Hermione, also in the class, raises her hand and asks, Professor, can you tell us about the Chamber of Secrets? And for some reason, McGonagall's like, you know what? I'm in the mood for a tangent this class. And she completely derails the lesson plan of the day just to start talking about the Chamber of Secrets. It's like the most school thing that happens in the school, where like a teacher's teaching a class and the kid who doesn't want to like participate in what the class is really about asks questions that are somewhat related, but off subject enough to like get a more interesting conversation. It's a classic thing kids do in classes. But anyway, so McGonagall falls for the oldest trick in the book, and they start talking about the Chamber of Secrets. So she goes, all right, as you know, Hogwarts was founded by four members. Rowena Ravenclaw, Helga Hufflepuff, Godric Gryffindor, and Salazar Slytherin. And they've lived in perfect harmony. Everything changed after the Fire Nation attacked. And then what happened? And then I think she's like, they all coexist peacefully. Three of the founders had an idea of how they wanted the vision for the school to be, but one of them disagreed. He wanted magic to be taught within only pure wizard blood families. And then like the others disagreed and he got pissed. So he made a secret chamber and put a snake in there, or a monster. They don't know what the monster is, but they put a monster in there that when his heir would return, would come and just start killing people. Everyone has looked everywhere in the castle, but we haven't found it. with all the magic that we have, and also probably, like, allegedly the greatest wizard of all time, Mr. Albus Dumbledore, who is the headmaster of the school. But, you know, he hasn't found it, so there must not be a chamber here. We've looked extensively, kids. It's probably fine. Don't ignore the petrifications. Like, she basically dismisses the story as just, like, a legend, which, like, valid. But I don't know, maybe she does, I don't know, does she dismiss it as a legend? No, I think she grounds it a little bit. I don't know if she treats it as a legend. I think she treats it as, like, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And I remember, at the end of this whole speech, Malfoy might say, "You're next, Granger," which is, like, a crazy thing to say in class. I don't know if he does say that, but in my heart and in my mind, I remember him saying, "You're next, Granger," or "You're next," or "You'll be next," or something like that, to that effect, towards Hermione, which is, you can't threaten someone in class, sir. The teacher's right there. No one took points away from Slytherin. No one did anything. You gotta intervene. You can't just let Malfoy just do shit like that. But anyway, I think after the scene, they are in the library, and they're discussing the possibility of Malfoy being the heir of Slytherin. And Hermione goes, "Why didn't I think of that before? Polyjuice potion. Oh, but it's the hardest potion I've ever tried to brew. It'll take months to perfect." And then Harry's like, "We don't have months. You know, they could kill half the mudbloods in the school by then, or half the muggleborns in the school by then." I don't remember. I think he says muggleborn. I don't think Harry uses the word mudblood. I think he says muggleborns. Yeah, he could kill half the muggleborns in school by then. And then Hermione's like, "Yeah, but it's all we got." And then, you know, cut forward to them playing Quidditch. It's the Slytherin-Gryffindor game? I think it's going... No, it's the game. Is this the game where it goes poorly? No, that's the first movie. I'm mixing up all the Quidditch games blend together eventually. But this one's special because it's the first time Malfoy is a seeker and Harry's also, like, they're seeking against each other. I guess they're counter-seeking each other. And Lucius Malfoy is obviously in the audience, like, cheering on his son. It's a typical game of Quidditch, you know, both teams are chasing a snitch. Malfoy and Harry are basically neck and neck. I mean, it starts off with, like, some light banter. There's obviously, like, the, you know, "Oh, you're having trouble there, Potter," or something like that. Along with just some kind of, like, snide comment at Harry's expense. But then Harry sees the snitch, like, right behind Malfoy's head and, like, goes after it. And then Malfoy realizes, too, he also has a faster broom, allegedly, so he should be able to beat Harry, but he doesn't. They're, like, really neck and neck about this whole catching the snitch thing. Meanwhile, while they're chasing it, a bludger is, like, hunting Harry down. Like, it has it is trying to seek and destroy Harry. It, like, goes for his broom, it goes for his hand, it just goes for him. So this whole sequence is, like, them darting back and forth, trying to, like, get the snitch, but also not get murdered. And Malfoy gets knocked off his broom and falls in, like, a really embarrassing way. I think he hits himself in the nuts and, like, kind of, like, whinges a bit, and then the dad just, like, kind of face palms or, like, gives a really disappointing look to Malfoy. And I think Malfoy, like, they make, like, an eye contact thing, and, like, Malfoy's dad gives him, like, a bad look, and Malfoy, like, feels shame. And then Harry is about to catch the snitch, and then the bludger just breaks his hand, just, like, smashes the ever-loving shit out of his hand. And I think... Does he catch it that way in this movie? I think he like Silver Surfers it and like catches the snitch. I'm fairly certain that's how that shit goes now. Like he's like silver, like his one of his hands are broken, and like he rides the broom like he's the Silver Surfer, and then just like grabs the snitch. Then he like falls off the broom and he lands on the ground. And he's like, "Hooray! Harry Potter has caught the snitch. Gryffindor wins!" And then the bludger is still on seek and destroy mode, so it's just going ape. Like, it's smashing the ground where Harry is. It's just trying to murder the man. Like, he's a boy of 12 years old, and there's a ball of... It's like a cannonball, like a physical cannonball is trying to kill him. No adult intervenes at all. In fact, it's only when Hermione Granger, another child, comes down to the Quidditch pitch does the canon of death get dealt with? Like, no. Where's Dumbledore, McGonagall, Madame Hooch? I mean, literally anyone. Just anyone to stop the carnage before, like, Hermione, who's on the fucking grandstand, walks down a flight of stairs, comes down there, walks out onto the field, and has to blow it up. Like, I mean, the amount of time that passes, it's horrific. It's almost negligent the way they treat these children, but it's fine. It's a school. We're just entrusting our children with you. I mean, I guess you're like, the stakes don't matter. We have literally wizard medicine. Like, your kid could basically be dead. We can bring him back. It'll be fine. Which is basically what happens, because Lockhart walks onto the field, sees Harry's broken hand, and decides, I can fix that, and then proceeds to cast a spell on his hand which removes all the bones from it. Just every single one. Just all the bones. I don't remember the name of that spell. Oh, Brachio something. Don't remember the spell exactly, but it's Brachio something. So he casts the spell on him, and he's like, good as new. And then his hand, like, flops around like a jellyfish or maybe like a squid. It's horrific. He, like, rolls his hand up like a fruit roll-up, and nothing good comes from that sequence. Oh yeah, right before, I was trying to think, I was like, right before Lockhart casts a spell, Harry goes, no, not you, anyone but you, which is like, yeah, valid, because the man took all the bones from your hand. Anyway, they run Harry up to Madame Pomfrey, who is, like, more than equipped to help Harry, and she goes, I can mend bones in a heartbeat. Growing them, that's nasty business. But you can do it, right? I think Ron says, or maybe Hermione, but you can do it, right? And then she goes, I can do it, but it'll be very painful. And then she gives him a drink from this, like, skull bottle. It looks like a skeleton. It's an awesome bottle. I wish I had one. It's pretty cool. It has, like, a skeleton head, and, like, the whole bottle's made of, like, bones. And he takes a sip, and he just, like, spits it out. And she's like, what were you expecting? Pumpkin juice? Which, yeah, I mean, it probably is not going to taste really good, Harry. You got to grow some bones. So he drinks it and then goes to sleep. And then late that night, he wakes up to Dobby just, like, being spooky. Actually, no, he wakes up to, like, spooky sounds in the castle. And, like, he looks left and looks right, looks left, look right. And then they do, like, a great camera gag where they, like, have his, like, his point of view of him, like, looking around. And then, like, where he was looking before, where there was dead space, there's Dobby now. And he's like, ah! And he goes, Dobby? And he goes, Harry Potter, you must leave immediately. You're in grave danger. And I don't remember exactly how it comes to fruition, but Dobby does kind of let, like, he's like, yes, it was my bludger. If Harry Potter knew he was not welcome, perhaps he would leave. He's like, can I know why you're trying to kill me, Dobby? Not, never killed. Dobby remembers how it was before Harry Potter came and defeated he who must not be named. House elves were treated like vermin then. We're still treated like vermin. And then, like, starts crying. Poor Dobby. I think Harry, like, grabs Dobby by the scruff of his shirt and, like, threatens him a little bit. Like, you know, tell me or else you're gonna deal with me. I think he alludes that the Chamber of Secrets has been opened again. And then takes the aforementioned bottle, the skull bottle, and just starts beating his head in because it was, like, information he wasn't allowed to give out, so he has to punish himself. And then I think Harry, like, really tries to, like, get a hold of the situation again, but then Dobby's just not giving him any more information, except just, like, leave, Harry, you just gotta bounce. And then they hear someone coming in the hallway, and then Dobby apparates out of there, leaving Harry all alone. So then he just, like, goes back to bed pretending to be asleep again, which he doesn't have to do that. I mean, would he get in trouble for being awake? I mean, he's regrowing an arm, he could be in pain and just awake, just like sit up in bed and just see what the fuck's going on, man. Like, there's no harm, no foul here. You're in the medical wing. Like, you're not breaking any rules. Just sit up and just like look at what's going on. You don't need to roll over and pretend to be asleep. Harry does that shtick so often, like pretend to be asleep when there's like no stakes for him to not pretend to be asleep. I don't know. So he pretends to be asleep. They bring in Colin, the photo boy. He was taking pictures all the movie. I don't know if I brought up Colin. He's kind of a throwaway character. I mean, he is and he isn't. He doesn't really show up again. Or does he show up again? I don't know. He doesn't really show up in any kind of meaningful way. But, yeah, he's just there. He takes pictures. That's his whole shtick. He's like, I like taking pictures. So he has a camera in his hand. He's petrified. They open the camera to see if it reveals who would have attacked him. And all the, like, footage is all fucked up. And they're like, oh, I think McGonagall's like, Albus, what does this mean? And then Albus goes, our worst fears have been realized. Hogwarts is no longer safe. And then that's it. That's about it. That's about the extent of it. No, we probably should send the kids home at this point, but no, we're just going to cut forward to the Defense Against the Dark Arts class, where they're teaching kids how to defend themselves from attackers. So they're just basically teaching kids how to duel. It's Snape and it's, who's the other guy? Lockhart. I keep forgetting his name. Yeah, Lockhart. So it's Lockhart and Snape. They're teaching a class together. Obviously, Lockhart's Defense Against the Dark Art teacher, Snape potion teacher, but wants the job, so might as well co-teach this class. They're teaching kids how to duel, the art of dueling. So basically, he's like, okay, let's do a demonstration. And both men like go up on the stage, do like the little wand things where they like put the wand in front of the face and like bow respectfully, then they walk like almost like they're in a western, like they're gonna like pow pow shoot out, but they, you know, both wands obviously. So they go, they walk away, and then they, on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, and then Snape just fucking obliterates Lockhart, kicks his ass just clean across the room. And then Snape's on the sizzling side, he's like, perhaps we should teach them how to defend themselves against any nasty spells. I was like, that's a great idea. Perhaps we should do a demonstration, which, man, I don't know, maybe teach the kids how to block spells. Like, even though Lockhart is a fraud, right? Like, fundamentally so. We haven't gone to that point, kind of spoilers to the plot, but we've all more or less seen Chamber of Secrets. Lockhart, even though he's, like, a fraud, like, he hasn't done all the shit he said he's done, must know a simple, like, warding charm or some kind of defensive spell. Like, you know? Like, how deep are standard wizards' repertoire in spells? You know? That's, like, a question I would love to know the answer to. Like, do wizards just not know a shitload of spells? Or do most wizards... I mean, I guess that's what you're going to school for. I don't know. Anyway, doesn't teach the kids how to defend anything. Doesn't even teach them Expelliarmus or any of the spells that will come subsequently. Don't know where they learned it from. But Harry and... Lockhart says, all right... Harry, Ron, you two up here. And Snape goes, no, we're not going to pick Ron unless you want Harry up in the medical wing in a matchbox. I'll pick someone from my house. Malfoy, maybe? And then he, like, points to Malfoy and, like, dramatically, like, fingers, like, does, like, a thumb motion to, like, get on the stage. Like, I don't know, like, something about that like, the stiffness of the action that Alan Rickman does in that scene is so cool. Like, he goes, bah. I don't know. That like, motion. I think that's a lot of Alan Rickman's motions in these films. Are just so, like, methodical. They're just so... Ugh. It's a masterclass in acting. The man's a legend. Rest in peace, Alan Rickman. So much love. I'm just truly devastated. I'll never get to work with you. Okay, so there's the duel. They're Harry and Malfoy now duel. They walk up to each other and he goes, "Scared, Potter?" And Harry goes, "You wish." And then there's like a reaction shot from the crowd where everyone's like, "Badass." And they're all like nodding their head. And then they go and they walk other directions. And then they're like, "All right, disarm your opponent on the count of three. 1, 2. And then Malfoy just like casts a spell. I think he goes, not Ricosempra. That was like later on in the sequence. I think it is Ricosempra. I don't know. He sends Harry flipping out. Harry like fumbles over. And then Harry gets up and goes, Expelliarmus! Or does he say Expelliarmus? I think he does say Expelliarmus. I'm not sure, though. I'm not sure the spells in the sequence. All I know is it goes back and forth. Malfoy gets knocked on his ass. And then Lockhart's like, disarm! Disarm only! And then Malfoy goes, Serpent Sorcerer! And then a snake just pops out, which is, like, cool. But, you know, not the Exorcisor. And Snape is, like, approaching Harry. And then Snape's like, don't worry, Potter. I'll take care of the snake for you. As he, like, rolls up his sleeves. But then Harry just, like, whips out his parcel tongue and starts parcel tonguing the snake. And the snake, you know, is, like, going to attack some kid, I think, maybe. Well, I think the snake's, like, just hanging out. And then Harry starts talking to it. And the snake's, like, going to attack some kid. And then Harry's, like, telling the snake, you know, some shit. You can't really understand it because there's no subtitles. So you just have to, like, kind of read the subtext of the scene. But, like, he's, like, shaking his head, and the snake's like, I don't know. And then Snape has, like, seen enough of it, so he, like, kills the snake by lighting it on fire with a spell. Don't know the name of the spell, but he does burn a snake alive, which, terrible way. Is it alive? Wait, I don't know, did Malfoy produce life? Is the snake a real snake? There's so many questions about magic. But anyway, I'm not going to delve into that. There's so much, like... If we get into the existentialism of Harry Potter, we'll be in the weeds forever. But yeah, so he murders the snake. And then the kid that was going to be attacked by the snake turns to Harry and goes, Are you having a go at me? Or something like that. And they all rush back to the common room. And then... Harry's like, oh, thank God I told that snake not to attack Colin. That's what you were saying? Yeah, you were there. You heard me. No, I heard you speaking snake language or parcel tongue. Snake language? And Harry's like, I spoke a different language? But how can I speak another language without knowing it? And then I think Hermione goes, do you know why the house crest of Slytherin is a snake? Because Salazar Slytherin is a parcel tongue. And then Harry's like, yeah, but I bet loads of people can do that around here. And she goes, no, Harry, it's a very rare gift. And he goes, well, yeah, but he's like, I think they, like, make an assumption that he could be the heir of Slytherin. He's like, but how could I be the heir of Slytherin? I don't know, Harry. Salazar Slytherin died a long time ago. For all we know, you could be the heir. And then the scene ends, which I think is a good place to end this episode because we've run a little bit long. I hope you guys have been enjoying the series. I am enjoying it too. I am really excited to get to the end because once we get to the end, that means I can finally watch Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets and actually, like, see how close I got because that is part of the fun of this. But, as always, I hope you had a good time listening to this and I'll see you all next week Monday, which will probably be more Harry Potter. Bye now.